Zephyr News is broadcast each Thursday evening from 7 to 7:30 p.m. This week's show features a contribution from the Sacramento Observer and Chico Soul. Segments from KZFR community members include coverage of the Chico Compost Facility closure by Hope Brianna Campbell, a piece on Oroville Youth in Action by Maddie Vannucci, a recap of the Farm Land Summit by Hope Brianna Campbell, a review of the Oroville City Council meeting by Maddie Vannucci, and local news coverage by David Moose.
This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News. The city of Chico's longtime compost facility is preparing to close, marking the end of a service that has helped residents recycle yard waste for decades. While many people know the site as a place to drop off leaves, grass clippings, and tree trimmings, city officials say changing regulations, aging infrastructure, and the cost of operating the facility have made it increasingly difficult to keep it running. The compost facility, located on Cohasset Road near the Chico Municipal Airport, has been part of the city's green waste program by turning organic material into compost instead of sending it to the landfill. With the closure, the city says green waste recycling won't disappear. It will simply shift to other regional facilities. Residents will still be able to take yard waste to the Neal Road Recycling and Waste Facility and other composting locations in Butte County, where green waste will continue to be processed. Officials point to several factors. Maintaining the aging operation has become more expensive, and environmental regulations surrounding composting have continued to evolve over the years. Rather than investing significant money into upgrading the site, the city determined that regional facilities are already capable of handling the material more efficiently. The compost site sits near the Chico Municipal Airport in an area that has become increasingly important for industrial and commercial development. While the city has not finalized plans for the property, officials have indicated the land could eventually support future airport-related uses, business development, or other projects that better fit the airport's long-term planning efforts. This closure also reflects a broader trend across California. Many smaller municipal compost operations have been consolidated into larger regional facilities that can process higher volumes of organic waste while meeting stricter environmental standards. For longtime Chico residents, the compost yard has been a familiar part of the community for years. Its closure marks the end of an era, but city leaders say the goal remains the same: keeping organic waste out of landfills while providing reliable recycling options for the public. The difference is that those services will now be handled elsewhere, allowing the city to focus on other priorities for the airport area and surrounding property. This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News.
This is Maddie Vannucci with Zephyr News. A newly formed nonprofit hopes to remove financial barriers that keep local children from participating in sports, music, educational programs, and other extracurricular activities. During Tuesday's Oroville City Council meeting, Councilmember Sean Weber announced that the Oroville Community Development Coalition will host a public meeting on Monday, July 13th, to discuss Oroville Youth in Action. The meeting will begin at 5:30 p.m. at the Union Coffee Club. Weber emphasized that the organization is designed to support far more than youth athletics. This nonprofit is not just for sports, but anything that youth in the community may need, Weber said. Investing in our youth is investing in our future. According to reporting by Kira Gottsman of the Chico Enterprise Record, Oroville Youth in Action plans to provide scholarships that help children in kindergarten through 12th grade participate in positive activities, including sports, band, field trips, and summer camps. Our goal is to support kids in doing what they love to do, which we believe will support them academically and teach them lifelong skills, OYA Vice Chair Ricky Gabriel told Enterprise Record. The organization says its mission is to empower local youth through meaningful opportunities, positive engagement, and supportive programs, while helping young people develop confidence, life skills, and stronger connections to the community. Although the nonprofit is still in its early stages, leaders say that they are seeking community support through donations and fundraising efforts to establish a scholarship fund. Unlike many assistance programs, OYA leaders told the Enterprise Record they do not plan to base scholarships solely on household income. Instead, applications will be reviewed individually to ensure that families who may not qualify for traditional assistance but are still struggling are not excluded. We want all the kids in the community to have an even playing field, Board Chair Misty Wright told the newspaper. We want to try to give these kids a good foundation to be successful and proud of themselves. Applicants may be asked to explain why they want to participate in a particular activity, demonstrate improved school attendance if needed, and, when age appropriate, volunteer at community events as a way of giving back. Our focus is to make it where these scholarships benefit everybody, and an income threshold would prevent that, said Lisa Torres, OYA board secretary. A family shouldn't be rejected just because they have money. At the end of the day, we want to support all of our kids in finding their niche and excelling. Organizers are expected to share additional details about the organization's goals and future plans at the July 13th OCDC meeting. With Zephyr News, this has been Maddie Vinucci.
This is Patrice for Chico Soul. This week, a changemaker feature about Black resiliency project leaders, the Supreme Court's affirmation of birthright citizenship, and staff changes at Chico City Hall. Chico Soul marked the 4th of July and the nation's 250th anniversary with a changemaker feature showcasing community contributions by a local African American organization. That organization, the Black Resiliency Project, focuses on harm reduction to alleviate problems faced by many community members regardless of race. Ife Saint, who coordinates several resiliency actions, explains.
Can I just say,
yeah,
harm reduction, you know, there's health and harm reduction. There's many avenues you can take that, you know, it's feeding the unhoused. It's even bringing, we have these, one thing that we do out of the church with me and Pastor Morton is that I have these packs, you know, like warm packs. It's getting cold and windy outside right now. And even last night I gave out a few because I've seen people on the street with like a cart or just like a blanket over them. Like, you know, they're really struggling. And these packs that have like hand warmers in them, flashlights, you know, gloves, beanies, scarves. There is harm, you know, in our communities. There's hurt in our communities. And so, you know, even a little bit helps, like, to a great degree.
Rachel Morton, founder of the Black Resiliency Project, also shared her feelings about growing up as a person of color in Chico. Here, she speaks about the project's origin.
Yeah, like, we show up for us because representation is important, but we show up for everybody because resilience is important for everybody. So it was Father's Day, 2019, and I'm sitting at home and I hop online, and this was after the senseless murder of George Floyd, and I see conversations that are just blatantly racist and heartbreaking and attacking, and people are fighting online, and it bothered me, deeply bothered me, and I was like, we need a safe space to have these conversations without people that are bringing, you know, negativity to it, for lack of a better word. And so
toward the end of Chico Soul editor Leslie Layton's interview with Ife Saint and Rachel Morton, Saint spoke about issues most African Americans have in tracing their family history and noted others may face similar obstacles.
There's a real, like, real felt disconnect when you have no idea where your family is from. You know, a lot of you know, Black people, you know, African American people whose you know, ancestors or even like as close as their great grandmother was enslaved, they have no way to find out like where their people are from. And at this point, it's like a reset. You're American now, and you know, even in that, you're not treated as if you're a full American. You know what I mean? It's like it, not having an identity can be really detrimental to your personal identity, because that's just a piece that you're missing. People can always go back to, oh, my family is like this or my family is like that, but if you have no family traditions, because your traditions were stripped from you, you start over with whatever's going on in the world or whatever's going on in your area. And yeah, so like I'm very grateful that I can trace my culture back to Haiti and beyond, but not everyone can do that.
Yeah,
most people can't in the Black community. They can't trace their culture back. It's just like, well, eventually their grandma or great grandmother was freed and they settled down wherever they were at, and now that's their community.
Yeah,
nothing further back than that.
Sam,
and look, throw in foster care or those other life experiences, that makes it that much farther from identifiers.
I guess because of foster care, it isn't only Black communities that can feel this way.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's a shared feeling. Like, people can understand, people can relate to not knowing who your family is.
While the Black Resiliency Project grew out of the Afro-American community, Morton is adamant that her organization serves everyone. It provides services across all demographics, she said. It provides unhoused people with needed supplies. It provides food to them and others. And it helps parents to navigate support for special needs children in the school system. All that and more. By the way, although African Americans comprise less than 3% of Butte County's population, that small percentage adds up to a significant 5,000 individuals. American Community Media picked up Layton's Black Resiliency Changemaker story, making it available to other publications and broadcast members throughout the state. Collaboration with American Community Media also allowed Chico Sol to report, in both Spanish and English, the Supreme Court's rejection of President Trump's attempt to block citizenship for some people born in the United States. The AECOM report stated that the Supreme Court's 6-3 decision on June 30th, affirming the bedrock constitutional principle of birthright citizenship, is a crucial and, in this current climate, exceedingly rare victory for immigrants and all Americans. Chief Justice John Roberts affirmed the historical importance of the decision, AECOM reported, declaring, quote, "Citizenship then and now was the right to have rights, to freely participate in our political community. The framers of the 14th Amendment extended that promise to every free-born person in this land. We keep that promise today," unquote. Finally, there are changes afoot at Chico City Hall. After 6 years as the city's top administrator, Mark Sorensen will step down as the city manager this Friday. Prior to his management post, Sorensen served on both the City Council and the Planning Commission, adding up to nearly 2 decades of local public service. Assistant City Manager Eric Gustafson will take over as interim city manager pending the arrival of the new manager July 27th. Gillian Hayen, who is leaving her post as Vallejo Assistant City Manager for the top Chico position, told reporters she has lifelong ties here.
So my mom graduated from high school here, and my parents both went to Butte College. My mom's 4 brothers and sisters also came up to Chico State.
Okay.
And they never left, as you saw some of the audience members, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Mm-hmm. So I've got 5 aunts and uncles here in Chico and all of the respective cousins. So about somewhere around 15 or 16 households of family.
Wow.
And then let alone friends, because I've been coming here since I was in my mother's womb, you know, obviously doing family events. And so every year at Thanksgiving, we're up in Cohasset at my one uncle's, and, you know, every 4th of July, we've done the parades. I'm familiar with the farmer's market, the street system. All of it is like old home to me.
Sure.
Because I've kind of grown up here with all my family here. So I think people don't know that about me yet, and so that'll be exciting to just kind of ease some of the, is this a stranger? Is this an outsider?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I wasn't born here, but I was basically raised here for the last, you know, large portion of my 48 years of life. So for me,
while many family members were present to support Hayen at the 5-2 confirmation vote Tuesday, her welcome to Chico was not without a couple of bumps. Several community members questioned the city's vetting process in choosing her for the position and criticized the size of her pay and benefits. Council members Dale Bennett and Michael O'Brien voted against the appointment. Bennett noted that he had lobbied for Chico's current police chief to be the new city manager. Chico Soul reporters are now working to update both the city manager story as well as how the Supreme Court's birthright decision resonates with and impacts people in Butte County. This has been Patrice for Chico Soul.
This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News. Farmers, researchers, policymakers, and students gathered this week at Chico State for the 2026 Farmland Summit, an event focused on one big question: how can California agriculture remain productive while also protecting the land for generations to come? In the Chico Enterprise Record by Nathan Chio-Chios, he states, Chico State was the host of the 2026 Farmland Summit Wednesday, bringing together farmers, scientists, landowners, policymakers, and students from around California to focus on nature-based solutions for healthier, more resilient farmland in the state. Also in Enterprise Record, Chico State President Steve Perez said, the summit highlights sustainable and regenerative agriculture practices while also bringing people from many different industries in and around agriculture to learn from each other. Regenerative agriculture is more than just a farming trend. It focuses on rebuilding healthy soils, conserving water, increasing biodiversity, and improving the long-term resilience of farms and ranches. Rather than relying solely on traditional methods, regenerative practices can include planting cover crops, reducing soil disturbance, integrating livestock into farming operations, and creating habitat for pollinators. Throughout the day, participants attended panel discussions and breakout sessions covering topics such as soil health, water management, biodiversity, financing, technical assistance, and groundwater sustainability. The summit also explored how farmers can access funding and support while reducing the risk that often come with trying new agriculture practices. Also in Chico Enterprise Record, it states that the event kicked off with speeches from several leaders in the agriculture industry, including Secretary of the California Department of Food and Agriculture, Karen Ross. Ross said the goal of the summit was to continue the great work in agriculture being done throughout California. Ross said farmers and ranchers are often the innovators, testing new ideas and sharing what works with others. She added that conversations like those held at the summit help identify both opportunities and challenges before new policies or investments are made. In the Chico Enterprise Record, Montez, who helps run Burrow's family farm, her family's farm in Merced, said the event is important to bring people together and help people figure out ways to work together. A big focus of the summit was regenerative agriculture, which she said, at its core, trying to make things better. She said there are several main simple principles of regenerative agriculture. One of those principles is keeping soil covered, which Montez said, important because if things are growing, don't get overheated, microbes can continue to live. Information gathered during the summit series will be used to develop recommendations for California's next administration. As climate conditions continue to change and water resources become increasingly valuable, many believe regenerative agriculture could play an important role in helping California farms adapt while remaining productive for decades to come. This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News.
This is Maddie Vannucci with Zephyr News. Oroville city leaders are calling this year's 4th of July celebration a major success, with thousands of residents gathering at the Riverbend Park for what Vice Mayor Smith believes could become a regional destination event. During Tuesday's City Council meeting, council members praised Feather River Recreation and Park District for organizing the celebration and credited first responders for keeping the event running smoothly. I talked to people all over the city and they were just thrilled, Councilmember Sean Weber said during the meeting. Council members also recognized Oroville Police Chief Jason Wines applauding his traffic management plan following the fireworks show. City officials estimated approximately 3,700 people attended the celebration, with 600 people using the busing system they set up to go. Community members have already expressed strong interest in helping raise money to bring the event back next year, Councilmember Weber said. This event cost about $30,000 to put on, Weber said, adding that the expense was well worth it because of the opportunity it created for families to come together and showcase the positive side of Oroville. Despite the successful celebration at Riverbend Park, emergency responders faced a much different picture throughout the rest of the city. According to the Oroville Police Department, officers handled an overwhelming volume of firework-related calls on the 4th of July. Police confiscated numerous illegal fireworks and shut down several groups using them in parking lots after officers observed intoxicated individuals handling and igniting fireworks. Several parking lots were also closed because illegal fireworks created what police described as unsafe conditions, according to an Enterprise Record article by Nathan Chiukos. Officers and the Oroville Fire Department also responded to multiple vegetation fires believed to have been caused by illegal fireworks. By the end of the holiday, Oroville police had arrested 6 people for illegal firework violations. Later in the meeting, Oroville City Council officials say that the city's financial challenges are far from over, with a projected $2.5 million budget deficit remaining in the proposed fiscal year 2026-27 budget. During this week's City Council meeting, officials attributed the shortfall to several factors, including declining sales tax revenue, the loss of a grant, and an overall downward trend in city revenues. At the same time, operating costs continue to rise, placing additional pressure on the city's finances. Vice Mayor Smith said that the city had prepared for financial uncertainty by building reserves over the last several years. "This too shall pass," Vice Mayor Smith said. "We could be on this course for a few years before we hit the skids." City staff said a more detailed 5-year financial forecast will be presented to the City Council in the upcoming weeks. That report is expected to outline projected revenues and expenditures over the next several years and address the city's reserve levels. The forecast will provide a clearer picture of whether the current deficit represents a temporary challenge or the beginning of longer-term financial pressures facing the city. With Zephyr News, this has been Maddie Vinucci.
Sacramento tourism surges as major events drive record growth. Hey, this is Faye from Game and Play for Zephyr News. This article was published on June 23rd, 2026, and written by William Menacuapo. For years, Sacramento has been overlooked as a travel destination, but that's changing. In 2025, the city's tourism industry experienced one of its strongest years in recent history, driven by major events, rising visitation, and strategic efforts by its Convention and Visitors Bureau, Visit Sacramento, to position California's capital as a premier destination. Visit Sacramento highlighted that momentum during its annual State of Tourism event June 3rd in 2025. The organization booked 405 events, generated more than 373,000 hotel room nights, and produced an estimated $321.1 million in economic impact. Hotel tax revenues also have grown more than 36% over the past 4 years and are up 27% compared to the pre-pandemic levels. One of the year's biggest successes was the debut of Terra Madre Americans, an international food and sustainability festival that attracted more than 160,000 attendees. The event built on Sacramento's farm to fork identity while elevating the city's profile as a global culinary destination. Visit Sacramento leaders announced that the festival has been secured for future years, further strengthening the regional's tourism pipeline. Sports tourism has also become a major economic driver. Ironman California sold out and became the largest Ironman event in North California, while Sacramento secured the X Games, which begin Friday, June 26. As Sacramento continues to attract international events, Mike Testa, Visit Sacramento president and CEO, said it is no accident and that it is the result of years of investment, partnership, and long-term planning. Quote, "The reality is it takes years, sometimes decades, of ideas falling down and starting again to make big things happen." End quote from Mike Testa, Visit Sacramento president and CEO. There is more for residents and visitors to look forward to in coming years. Organizers unveiled the lead chefs for the 2026 Tower Bridge Dinner, one of the city's signature culinary events celebrating Sacramento's farm-to-fork culture. Several major events also are returning, including the Golden Sky Country Music Festival from 2027 through 2029, an expanded California International Marathon that is expected to double its runner capacity. The city will continue to be showcased through Visit Sacramento's Neighborhood Storytelling Video Series, boosted by Melissa Magonzo. The series highlighted local businesses, community leaders, and authentic neighborhood experiences. Sonia Bradley, Visit Sacramento's Chief Inclusion and Community Engagement Officer, says, quote, "Developing a sustaining positive relationships with partners is something we never take for granted. Whether you're a painter, a mom-and-pop restaurant, an independent coffee shop, a museum, or a winery, our success is your success. We value your partnership," end quote. While the number of Black visitors to Sacramento isn't available, several Black-centric sites have become tourist destinations, including the Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum, Underground Books, and the Guild Theater in Historic Oak Park, and a self-guided Black history tour sponsored by the California Museum. Alrighty, this was Faye from Game and Play for Zephyr News. If you want to read this article, you can find it on the Sacramento Observer. Bye, and see you next time.
This is David Foose reporting for Zephyr News. California Governor Gavin Newsom declared this week as California Conservation Corps Week. Governor Newsom's office reported that the state's coordinated law enforcement operations have seized more than 63,000 pounds of illegal cannabis during the past 3 months, eradicated more than 89,000 plants, confiscated firearms, and disrupted organized criminal operations in 10 counties, making 24 arrests. Butte County came in third of the 10 counties behind Kern and Alameda counties, with almost 7,000 pounds of cannabis destroyed and over 13,000 plants eradicated. The city of Willows has been without law enforcement since its contract with the Glenn County Sheriff's Office ended June 30th. A couple days earlier, Willows City Council voted 4-0 to declare a public emergency. The county sheriff's office is still required by law to respond to emergencies in Willows. In addition, a court order requires the sheriff to provide law enforcement services to the city until at least July 17th. Willows has not had its own police department since dissolving it 9 years ago. To address the problem, the Willows City Council voted 4-0 to hire former Chico Police Chief Mike Maloney as a temporary law enforcement administrator. Maloney, who began his law enforcement career in Willows 46 years ago, will look to other jurisdictions to find patrol services for the city and to help the city establish the foundation for a new police department. The city of Chico began work on the North Cedar Street Improvement Project this week. The project will include full-depth reclamation of North Cedar Street from West 4th Avenue south to West Sacramento Avenue. The project also includes drainage improvements, the installation of curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, plus landscaping improvements. Motorists should plan for temporary delays and one-lane traffic. The city of Chico announced that work will begin Monday on the East 20th Street Road Rehabilitation Project to improve the eastern section of East 20th Street from the State Route 99 on-off ramps to Notre Dame Boulevard. The project is funded by local Measure H. The project includes road surface rehabilitation, striping, upgrades to existing bicycle lanes, installation of ADA-compliant curb ramps, new signage, and drainage features. Businesses along the 20th Street corridor will remain open, but traffic controls will be in place, and there may be temporary delays, so motorists should plan accordingly. This is David Foose for Zephyr News.
Zephyr News is produced by Trevor Parks, Lorenz Weissel, and Kezia Farr Volunteers. Listeners may send tips for stories to news@kzfr.org or by using the Submit a Story icon on kzfr.org. This program is made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. You can support KZFR's journalistic endeavors by visiting kzfr.org/donate. Subscribe to Zephyr News on your favorite podcast platform and share your thoughts on social media. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week.
Boy, KZFR News, that's hats off to the whole news team. My friend David's out there doing that, and just a great, great thing. I do want to let you know that this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico.